The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved Devas, Suras, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers and full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Sloka, which means he has offered prayers and selected verses. Bhakti means Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about Lord Vishnu. Impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though sometimes they offer prayers, the prayers are not directed toward the Supreme Person. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They always offer prayers indirectly saying, you are this, you are that, but they do not know to whom they are praying. A devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. A devotee says, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Quote, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna, unquote. That is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become a pure devotee and return home back to Godhead. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport. To the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, 46th and 47th verses in the matter of the appearance of demon, Vritra Asura. Hari Om Tat Sat. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Srila Prabhupada, he glorifies the personal offering of prayer. So Prabhupada says that we are ultra-personalists. He said he never just mentions my Guru Maharaj. He prefers to mention my spiritual master, my beloved spiritual master, Srila Om Vishnupad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in the Vaishnava prayers also, the prayers are personal. Prayers are a very important means of communication with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many religions, the prayer is a very major form of their worship. Lord Jesus' famous instructions are in the form of prayers sometimes, like the Lord's Prayer. O my Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. The difference is that there, in the, for instance, in Christianity, it's my Lord who is in heaven. But maybe Jesus knew exactly who he was praying to. But presently, it doesn't seem that people know exactly who they're praying to. Who is this Lord in heaven? Krishna. What does he look like? What does he do? Hallowed be thy name. What is his name? Sometimes you ask, and they tell you, the Christians, that, oh, this is a mystery. Very mysterious. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to unite all the religions and to dispel all the doubts and to eradicate all these mysteries by giving what is the true picture. In Madras, the gentleman who donated our a property to us for building a temple, is Christian. Manik Das. And his mother was a Hindu Brahmana and his father was Christian. And so he has some sentiment also for Hindu Dharma. For the sake of his mother, he donated land for us to build temple. When we went to see him, then he brought his son and asked the son, you please let us make a prayer. So my son is good at praying. So his son made, oh our Lord, then he made his prayer. And so I made a prayer. Prayer is very important for all religions. Prabhupada here described prayer as sravanam kirtanam. It is also praying, hearing and speaking the glories of the Lord. Sometimes prayer is described as bandhanam, offering obeisances and prayers. In this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vishnu is glorifying the devas that your prayers to me are very helpful for people to understand about my glories. In other words, the prayers tell something. When we make a prayer, we first focus on the glories of the Lord. We say something which is factual. It's not just like some kind of flattery that doesn't mean anything. It actually is a declaration of the Lord's glories, which also reveals that we understand who the Lord is. It also may include our own unfortunate, hopeless situation that we're in and our own limited and fallen nature, and also we may request some mercy, some special kind of blessing or something. Sometimes prayers are simply glorifying the Lord. The prayers by Lord Brahma don't ask for anything specific in the beginning, at least. They're simply glorifying the Lord. So prayer is actually our talking to Krishna. When we talk to Krishna, we call it a prayer. Of course, some devotees, are so elevated that they actually talk to the Lord and Lord talks to them. We heard sometimes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he'd go in the deity room and lock the door and he'd have extended discussion with the deity. I know that often I would be going on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. Here in Mayapur there are usually many devotees, but sometimes in Canada there are very few devotees. He may be only walking with myself and one other devotee. Sometimes he would sit on a park bench. He would just sit there, as he would sit on a bench nearby or down on the ground. And then he'd sit and he'd close his eyes, fold his hands. You'd see him moving his lips, offering prayers. I often saw Srila Prabhupada praying. Praying here in Mayapur in his room, praying before Radha Madhava. Srila Prabhupada, every day he was praying. I didn't think it was my place to ask Srila Prabhupada what he was praying. But apparently in one temple, one lady devotee came and asked Prabhupada, "What are you praying?" And Prabhupada was startled, because apparently he looked a little startled that looked at her. This kind of prayer is sometimes a very private talk between the devotee and the Lord. But then Prabhupada replied to her, "I am praying that I may never fall down from Krishna consciousness." Whether that was I always took that as a very special instruction. What a devotee should be praying. Prabhupada said during the Guru Puja, we pray to the Guru, we ask the Guru for forgiveness for all our offenses. That's why Prabhupada said that it's essential to offer some Guru Puja to one's Guru every day. We know that we can also offer the prayer written by the previous acharyas, or we can compose our own prayers. I was looking here how the different acharyas, they wrote their prayers as a song. Lochan Das has written so many wrote the beautiful different prayers. Bajo bajo hari mon doro kori dhira kori mukhe bolo tar naam Rajendra Nandana Gopi Pranadhana Bhuvana Mohana Shyam. I'm chanting the holy name of Hari with my mouth. I'm fixing my mind at his lotus feet. Studying the names of Krishna. Kakono maribe, kakono taribe, visham samana dake, jaha pratape bhuvana kapaye, najani mor vipaki. Kula donopaya, unamatohaya, aponake, aponake jano boro. Samone dute duripaye hati bandiya koribe joro. So here he is saying, getting the wealth, getting money and having a good family has made me mad. So now I'm thinking that I'm very big or important. Like that. So sometimes the devotees are describing themselves. Now I'm putting my feet at your, my hand on your lotus feet. But I made all these mistakes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vidya Vilas, he's describing someone who is very much infatuated with his learning and family sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada, in his prayers to Krishna outside of New York, Mark and Bhagavata Dharma, how he is praying to Krishna to establish the Bhagavad Dharma in America and in the Western world. Can you think of anyone who has been able to immediately attract the Lord's mercy by prayer? Yes. Gajendra the elephant made his prayer and was delivered by the Lord. Anyone else? Jai Radha Madhava Ashta Shakti Vrinda Ki, Radha Madhava Mayapur Chandra Ki. Anyone else? Yes. Rukmini. Draupadi. What did she pray for? She paid for protection, and she was immediately protected by Krishna from being attacked and disgraced. Yes, sir. Yes, Maharaj. Your Holiness. Madhavendra Puri, what did he pray for? He even just thought that. His thinking is like praying. Any ladies can think of any other example of someone who prayed and got the mercy? When? What? That was also Draupadi. Draupadi went and prayed to Krishna. Draupadi, yes. Kunti Devi made beautiful prayers when Krishna was leaving for Hastinapur. Yes. Prahlad offered the prayer to Narasimhadev. So prayer is such an important. In fact, most lot of what we're reading in Bhagavatam are our prayers. Prayers of the personified Vedas. Prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. Prayers of the Devas to Narasimhadev. Prayers of the Rishis to Vishnu. Prayers of all the persons who prayed to Vamanadeva when he appeared. Prayers by the Devas and others to Lord Narasimhadev. Prayer, you can say, is the most important thing. One of the very most important activities we have. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada stated, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, 12th chapter, there are many devotees in history who have attained perfection in devotional service simply by discharging the duties of one item. And there are many other devotees like Maharaj Ambarish who executed all the items. Some individual devotees who attained perfection in devotional service by actually one item are. Then it gives a list of the different devotees who practice one item of devotional service and achieve perfection. A Krura who attained perfection simply by praying. A Krura offered such a beautiful prayer that was enough to get his perfection. Nectar of Devotion explains about reciting notable prayer. According to great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers. Especially in the 11th chapter, where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, in the Gautamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord. So a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. In Skanda Purana, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows, quote, devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect even by the great saintly persons and sages. And such devotees are actually worshipable by the devas, the demigods. A few days ago, I was asking devotees, are you praying to the deity? Even this morning I asked them. And they say, well, to forgive me for my offenses. Prayer is a very important activity. It also helps us to establish our personal relationship with Krishna because we're praying to Him. We also pray to the Guru. We offer our Vyasa Puja, homage. When the GBC made the new rules restricting public Guru Puja, as I mentioned that time, Hari Vilasi told me, but prayer is not restricted, you see. When the Guru comes in the temple and gives his welcome address, then the devotees one after another can stand up and offer their verbal prayer. I don't know how practical it is. This time when I went to Durban, South Africa, and they had me sit down and they had me give welcome address, then I told them that, well, you can say any realization you want, which has been authorized by GBC. And then everyone was, as usual, you know, totally speechless because they had never thought that they were to say. But then a few devotees said something at the occasion, which was nice. So I guess that the intention is to teach devotees to be more communicative. You were let off too easy just to offer a flower. Now you actually have to offer a prayer. You see, prayer is okay, or flowers are only prohibited. Because communication, you cannot be strict. Communication is essential. Prabhupada said it is by communication that we can achieve cooperation. So communicating with Guru and Krishna, that is one form of prayer. Because you don't communicate in a normal way. Prayer means it's something we choose our words. We think and we have to choose our words because we know that we are speaking to the Supreme Authority, and whatever we say, if we say the wrong thing, that can also put us in big trouble. Just as Lochan has said here, that to Krishna, by whose anger makes the whole world shake in fear. We don't want to say the wrong thing. Therefore, sometimes when we don't know what to pray, then we just repeat the prayers of previous acharyas. And then we know we can't go wrong. That's why we can say, you know, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kora More Tume Bine Ke Doyalu Jagata Sansare Patita Pavana Hitu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Napai Beya. We sing Narottam Das Thakur's prayers, you can't go wrong. You sing the prayers of the acharyas, you know you got a winner. You have something that's approved. But if sometime you want to make your own prayer, then at least should follow in their footsteps. In the Narsingha Purana it is stated, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible without any doubt to enter into the Vaikuntha Loka. Of course, Prabhupada, yes, every day we go before the deity, it's a deity greeting, and we chant, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So by Prabhupada's mercy, he's having all of us offer our prayers to the deities. Sometimes I have my prayer list of all the people I pray for, and I'm trying to cover them, and everybody's pushing me, come on, next altar. Here we have more time to pray, but in other temples they want you to move very quick. So, but this prayer, as in different forms, Prabhupada has said a lot in Nectar of Devotion. One of the points of prayer is called submission, that we actually are going before the Lord and we are submitting ourselves, or making submission unto the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana there is a statement about submission unto the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said there that those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in the following three ways. One, sampratanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. Two, dainya avabodhika, humbly submitting oneself. Lalasa mayi, desiring some perfectional stage. So there's three things. Samprajanatmika, Dhanya Vabhodika, Lalasamayi. So what is Samprajanatmika? Tushtimon Krishna, Das. Listen up. You're thinking too much about your service in class. When someone is running like this in class, looking off in the space, then you know that he's thinking something else. Pratanatmika, who can say? Yes? Feelingly offering prayers. This is important by feelingly, that even that the prayer, like the winning note in Draupadi's prayer, was it was feelingly offered. Hey Kesava! I cannot even, we can't, what she was feeling when she's being stripped naked in front of everybody and nobody will help her, and then she simply surrenders both her hands to Krishna. One hand she's holding a cloth, and how can she fight against this Maharati and fight against a tenth, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands or whatever elephants. He wasn't Bhima, but he was a Maharati. He was very powerful. So Bhima's 10,000 elephants, I don't know exactly how many elephants the Dusasana was, but he was heavy guy. So what can she do? She's a very feminine lady. How can she defend herself against this, you know, rogue who's trying to just embarrass her and expose her? So then she realized that only Krishna can help me, and I had to fully depend on Krishna. So she just raised both the hands, and with so much feeling she called on Krishna. And Krishna later, he was telling Arjuna that when she called on my name Kesava, so then she realized that only Krishna can help me, and I had to fully depend on Krishna. So she just raised both the hands, and with so much feeling she called on Krishna. And Krishna later, he was telling Arjuna that when she called on my name Kesava, with that feeling, it didn't matter where I was, I had to drop everything I was doing and I had to be there. Srila Prabhupada, he said that if we cry for the Lord like the baby cries for the mother in desperation, immediately Krishna will come and help us. And sometimes babies are crying, you know, just like sometimes they're cry babies, right? You know, always crying, you know. Anything, yay, yay, because they don't have so much other skills to communicate. So they're just crying, yay, yay. So, you know, the mother, you know. Thank you for demonstrating. Anyway. But when the baby is like really in trouble, Prabhupada uses the example, and like something really happening, then it's a different kind of crying. Not the normal crying, but you know, like something really intense, a feeling. The mother knows this is like red alert. Confirmed. And immediately picks up the baby. So we cry for Krishna with so much feeling that immediately he just is very reciprocative. He has to, by his causeless mercy, it's his nature to just want to come and help us. But because we are praying to the Lord, maybe in an official way, oh my Lord, please have mercy on me. What do I have to do today? Oh Lord, I'm supposed to pray to you. What should I pray today? Jesus, Krishna, help me. Help me, Lord, please help me. I need your help. I think I need your help. And you know, we don't like really give our attention. And then something happens and we're really smashed and we really feel hopeless. And then we go before the Lord, "Please, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm so fallen. Everything is falling apart. I need your mercy." Why do we have to wait till we get smashed to pray with healing? Then we realize that, you know, without getting smashed sometimes, we don't get that feeling. So that's why sometimes being put in difficulty helps us to learn to feelingly pray to the Lord. When we're hopeless, that's when we tend to go to the Lord and really pray with feeling. Actually, if we knew our real situation, we could go every day and pray feelingly. What's the problem? Every day we're hopelessly in this material world without Krishna's mercy. They said that although Kunti's prayer were very moving to the Lord, and he appreciated, "Thank you very much," he still was leaving. Their beautiful chosen prayer accepted by the Lord, but they didn't stop him from going. But when he came to Yudhisthira, he couldn't even speak hardly. He was choked up. Whatever prayers he could, all he could say, "Krishna, please don't go right now. Please." And because his approach was so much feeling, then Krishna, he couldn't go. He said, all right. And he stayed some more days. So sometimes we wonder why we have emotions. I mean, you know, we could have been designed like clones and computers. But we are human beings, and human beings have emotions. "Oh, this flower, so beautiful." Right? We have emotions. But actually these emotions, we can see what they're really meant for is our exchange with Krishna. How wonderful is the creator of such a beautiful flower. But actually, our emotions, so what we're really meant to get, of course, we're giving them to our friends, we're giving them to the nature, we're giving our emotions to our spouses. Supposed to be favorable emotions, sometimes we give the other emotions. The emotions are actually the feelings that are to be given to Krishna. But to actually come to that level where we can express our emotion to Krishna, then we go to Krishna feelingly, "Krishna, please help my son who's got tumor in the kidney or intestine." Not all the feeling, but a feeling is addressed to our son and our mother and our brother and our sister and our... But when we can actually express our feeling that we have feelings for Krishna, that is itself a very perfectional state. But by the devas offering this prayer in Bhagavatam, it was very correct. It was glorifying Krishna, telling about his real position. It was offered with chosen words, their authorities. So that way, in the moment, Krishna appreciated and personally appeared to them. First he appeared in their heart, then he appeared to them. But because they had not developed their relationship with Krishna, they're praying to Krishna to please get rid of this demon, Vritrasura, who is killing us, and he's about to destroy us, and he's taken all our weapons, and you're the only one who can save us. That's the final, you know, conclusion. So they offer, but they really want to be saved materially. And then Krishna is telling them that you go to see this What's his name again? Gadichi. And then ask him for his body. That's really far out. Because here the devas are praying for protecting their body, and he's going to say, ask his devotee for his body, he'll give you. Like, very humiliating, isn't it? You're praying for your body, and you go and you ask someone begging for the body without hesitation, oh, you want my body? Anyway, I have to give up this body sooner or later. You can have it. So how great is this devotee? So when we can actually offer prayers with feeling and to the Lord, that we actually appreciate the Lord with feeling, that is something glorified by the Vedas. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement of submission and feeling by devotees praying to the Lord. My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys, and that young boys have natural affection for young girls. I am praying at your lotus feet that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way. And Prabhupada explained the example is very appropriate. When a young boy or girl sees a member of the opposite sex, there is a natural affection without the need for any introduction. Without any training, there is natural affection due to the sex impulse. This is a material example, but the devotee is praying that he may develop a similar spontaneous attachment for the Supreme Lord, free from any desire for profit and without any other cause. This natural attraction for the Lord is the perfectional stage of self-realization. But sometimes, one develops this natural affection for the devotee of the Lord, and that is also perfection. When we see a devotee, we feel attracted and we feel happy. I remember I was thinking of one devotee who had done so much service for Mayapur. I was thinking it would be nice to see that devotee, and he did so much service. And when I saw that devotee, I was feeling so happy, and I paid my obeisances and I embraced that devotee and said, thank you, welcome to Mayapur, you've done so much service for Mayapur, I'm really glad you're here. Of course, in the meantime, the devotee had changed his attitude something, and then he was criticizing everybody and everything. And then I was thinking, I lost my ecstasy for the moment. I didn't want to hear all the criticism. But immediately my initial reaction, I was feeling so happy to see that devotee, and I was expressing. And even now, I still feel very grateful for that devotee, unfortunately. Now that devotee doesn't criticize so much, but at that moment, sometimes we don't know. We feel there's so much happiness for devotees. This morning, Tushji Devi, she saw me as entering into the samadhi. She was smiling. So, I'm so happy to see you. She really looked happy. So, it's like that. Sometimes when we feel happiness at seeing devotees, that is also a really good sign. This is what natural affection should be there amongst the devotees. When we can express, we can show, it's not wrong to feel natural affection amongst devotees. Sometimes it's so hard, how do you express that? That's where, like, when a devotee comes, Krishna, he would express it by offering the devotee an aarti, a garland, bathe the feet, you know. It's a way of practically showing your affection. When the Lord appears in the morning at the Mangal Aarti, we have so much affection, we want to show the Lord. We're so happy it comes. So we offer our prayers in the form of Mangal Aarti to him. And you go to Tirupati and they have the Suprabhatam prayers. You know, the Lord is awakening in the morning, and by your awakening you're giving us all, the whole world is blessed and everything is auspicious. Vrinkateshara Suprabhatam Utishtu Utishtu Bhadram Te. They sing the awakening prayers and then their prayers. I like that formal way they offered the awakening. All the pujaris lining up, not all, six of them with microphones wired to the entire place. 3:30 in the morning when they waken the deities, everyone in unison is chanting, Utishta, Utishta Bhadramte. You know, wake up, oh dear gentle one, oh Lord, wake up. And then now the sun is about to rise, it is the Suprabhatam time. Wake up, O Lord, who is all merciful and giving so many glories to the Lord. A very nice way of awakening the Lord with prayers in the morning. So, that way they're offering their prayers because they're happy to receive the Lord. Of course, sometimes it may be done mechanically, but the mood that was originally composed by devotees who are feeling so happy to welcome the Lord. So that should be our mood in welcoming the Lord, and welcoming the devotees, and welcoming the spiritual master, welcoming each other. Even after some separation, you see some devotee, you want to embrace the devotee, you're so happy to be together again. This is very natural. So this is what helps to bind our whole Krishna conscious movement. It's the love between the devotees. Because there's a natural spiritual affection, a natural spiritual appreciation. Sometimes devotees tell me that they don't feel that anybody cares about them. They don't feel that anybody has any, in other words, any affection for them. So how important it is in this Krishna. In fact, in last year, I was going around the world and doing a love and trust seminars and workshops. And one of the workshops we did is, why do devotees come to Krishna consciousness? And they come because of the good prasadam, the nice dealings, the nice deity worship, the nice family spirit. They come because of the preaching, the books, the festivals, so on and so forth. The knowledge, the philosophy. And then we did, okay, why do people leave Krishna consciousness? Nobody leaves because the philosophy is inadequate. Nobody leaves because we don't have enough festivals, you know. But they said they leave because they got sick and nobody took care of them, because people didn't deal with them nicely, because nobody cared about them, because the temple president took away their service and didn't discuss with them. Because, you know, all the 90% of the reason why people left was because of the lack of affection and care and personal dealings. At least 80%. And there were also, Maya was one of the features, that maybe 80% was some personal dealings. Of course, if you ask the devotee in Maya why they left, they won't say because I fell in Maya, they'll say it was some personal dealing usually. But others may say, okay, he was in Maya. Good riddance. But actually it's not, we don't want to lose the devotees. So how important it is that, you see, because the neophyte devotees, a very advanced devotee may feel the affection of Guru and Krishna even when they're not present. They know that Guru and Krishna really care about them. Even if there's something that appears to be different, it's like a small child. You're told that in the first 5 years are the most important years of the life, because that time, if they're given a lot of affection from their parents, somehow everything wires. Even the Time, Newsweek, they put in their magazine that all the wiring in the brain goes properly if they're given a lot of affection. And if they're mistreated, and then the wiring gets short circuit later on, they become criminals and rebellious. That's their interpretation. Of course, I don't know how they figure all these things out. But anyway, we know that the first five, Prabhupada said, you just treat the children with so much love and affection. And after five, then you start to discipline them more. Scientists are saying these things. So anyway, that is the most important period. Therefore, they're saying that now it's kind of a complete circle, because all these years they're saying how women should be liberated and should leave the home and should be out and independent and working and put the children in daycare centers and be independent. And now they're saying maybe the daycare center is the worst thing for the world, and actually you need to have the parent or mother at home caring for the children so that the children get the real love and affection they need to become full human beings, and not, you know, distorted, warped kind of half people who are emotionally crippled because they were mistreated in by some, you know, harsh daycare center or something. It's unusual turn of events. Maybe the Vedic system has something good about it. So anyway, amongst the devotees, somehow we need to develop, get rid of the shyness to express our natural affection and care for other devotees, that it's not wrong to care about devotees. And if somebody is sick or somebody doesn't show up, to go and ask about them. Just when I was in Malaysia for our national convention there, there's one lady who's born in a Christian family, who's become a Hare Krishna devotee at the great, said, because she's not going to church, she goes to the temple. Just a few weeks before, 12 members from the church came and visited her in her house, and all sat around her and began to pray for her. Oh Lord, please have mercy on this soul, that she may come back to the church again and attend our Sunday service, and da-da-da-da. You know, and what a scene, you know. She's sitting there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. While they're praying for her, you know. She didn't tell her parents yet she's become a Hare Krishna. They don't know why she doesn't go to church, where she goes on Sunday, to the Sunday feast, you know. But then she was going to one house program, being invited by a devotee, and then on the way, she had an accident in her motorcycle, two-wheeler, and was in the hospital with a broken bone. But notice, and the devotee personally asked her, please come to my program. The way that everyone knew that she had the accident, no devotee phoned her, no devotee went to see her. And then, you know, she said, I had to admit that I was having doubts. Maybe the Christianity is better, because, I mean, they're phoning me, they're asking about me. I mean, it's all material, I know that, but why the devotees have to be so harsh? Why they don't have a common... And we see here that one of the qualities of the devotee is that when they to feel sad about other people's sadness. Paradukha-dukhi. So somehow, I mean, we preach to everybody, you're not the body, you're not the body, you're not the body, but if somebody was sick, I stepped on a nail in Montreal, and somehow Prabhupada heard about it and wrote me a letter. I heard that you stepped on a nail I am very sorry to hear this. Remember that your body has been offered to Krishna, and therefore now it's not your property, it's Krishna's property, so you have to take care of it very well. So please take care of your body nicely, and take sufficient rest and everything that your body recovers properly so you can use it in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada expressed his concern over my material minor problem. I mean, a step on a nail is not life and death. I mean, it entered in my foot and I had the tetanus shot and everything. Could be life and death, but if you didn't get the tetanus shot, but normally not. But still he wrote up, but he also made it Krishna conscious. He was so concerned, he showed care. At the same time, he preached to me what I should think and so on. Everything was very perfect. But he did take this, I mean, he didn't have to. He went out of his way to write me a letter to express this concern. That's how much I felt cared for by Prabhupada. And I was cared for. Now we have got, maybe there was not so many devotees in those days, or maybe only 100 disciples, so he could show so much care personally. But then he told us, the senior devotees, that on my behalf, I want you to care for the other devotees, who are all my brothers and sisters, God brothers and God sisters. So, just like we feel we pray to Krishna with feelings, we also need to show our feelings in very practical, at the same time, Krishna conscious ways. And then if we do that, then people say, well, I would never have left Krishna consciousness if I felt that anybody made any difference to anybody. I didn't think anybody cared if I was here or not, so why be in a place where they don't care whether you're there? And one lady told me in Moscow earlier last year that, you know, that she felt like nobody cared about her. I said, look, I care about you. I may not be your spiritual master, I may be your spiritual uncle, but I care about every devotee in ISKCON. I don't want any devotee to leave. I want to see every devotee is well cared for, and I have a limited capacity. I know that I'm being criticized, that, you know, I'm taking more than I can chew, I'm doing more than I can cope with, but I care about you. I have that feeling. I do want you to be Krishna conscious. If you ever need any help, whatever I can do to my limited capacity, I certainly will try to help you. You can always feel you have got an uncle who cares. And then she came back to see me later and said, you know, you told me that. And because of that, I mean, I decided I never want to leave Krishna consciousness. I mean, I know that at least you're there to help me. I mean, I hope I'm not the only, I don't want to be the only person, you know, and I know that everybody gets on my case, says, you know, how can you do that? You have already so many people to care for. But what can you do? I do care about people. I do think that Prabhupada wants everybody to be cared for. And if there's nobody else and they come to me, I just can't turn them away. That's my weakness. I'm not going to do that to anybody. Because Prabhupada never turned me away. And he asked me to care for people. But if everybody could care for, I mean, and I don't, and even then, because I may be busy caring for one person, then I was talking to a disciple and they felt, well, I felt you didn't care for me. So it's like a losing battle, you know. Because we need to have more communication. But I was able to speak to that disciple because some devotee told me that that disciple's in trouble and not feeling cared for. Then I talked to the devotee and we had a communication. Then the devotee realized and said, it's not, I don't care. Just some breakdown in communication. So, we covered a wide range, the importance of prayer, expressing our feelings to Krishna, our prayers to Krishna, our realizations, some desires for perfection, our submission that I surrender to you, I am your surrendered soul, we submit ourselves to Krishna. All these things are very important. And also that amongst devotees, that Krishna, we see Krishna in the form of the devotees and Guru, and we express our feelings, we express our submission and our desire for perfection to the Guru. We also show our love and affection to devotees in appropriate manners, Krishna conscious manners, and to help them to be Krishna conscious. So we all work like this, especially in Mayapur. We want to make a spiritual society. And we tend to bring everything down into like categories, you know. Wherever the leaders are, they have to show their affection to householders and to the brahmacharis and to the humble sannyasis and everybody. That's also going to, it's needed. You can't just put people in boxes and see every person as a sincere individual trying to engage in Krishna's service. And amongst the devotee level, somehow we need to, in appropriate ways, because we may have different ashrams and different situations. So according to whatever is appropriate, to somehow have opportunities to express our appreciation for different devotees. So in this way we can actually have a closer and closer bond between all the devotees. Our counselor groups have that purpose. At least amongst those who participate in the counselor groups, they can have some kind of a more personal exchange. Because in a big community, it can go impersonal very easily. So like this, we want to build up our family spirit. We are one family under Prabhupada, under Lord Chaitanya, under Radha Madhava. So we can have a loving, wonderful, ideal family, and this will be an inspiration also for the rest of the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions?
They gave a report.
That is a prayer. That I am a fool. That by your mercy, Lord, the fools can become great orators, the deaf and the dumb. That the lame can cross over the mountains. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, one can also achieve this. So for such mercy, I'm also offering my obeisances to the Guru, to Lord Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. There's also a similar prayer to the Panchatattva and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Since I don't feel qualified to give a class on my own without the Lord's mercy, so I'm just praying for the mercy. To give the class. Paramananda Madhavam.